Friggin' what up, dude? I'm Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. It's gonna be called History is Dying.
History is dying with Strider Wilson. Is from the past.
Friggin' what up, Danktorians, dude? Welcome back to another ep of History is Dank, dude. I'm your host, Strider Wilson, dude. We got Aaron on the sticks, the Baron of the Buttons, dude. What up, Aaron?
What up?
Dude, just freaking post it up, dude. And you know that right now we got an extra special motherfucking treat, dude. You already read the title of this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, you might have eyes and you might already know. We got Luke motherfucking Knoll in the house, dude. Luke Knoll, a gentleman. And look at this gentleman, dude. He is donned in regalia right now. Beautiful. I mean, this is a sick ass. This is better than Gosling's jacket and Drive is what I'm thinking right now.
I'd definitely stomp somebody out in an elevator in this. Yeah.
After a tough loss.
After many, many tough losses.
Luke, thanks for being on the episode today, dude.
Thanks for having me. Love the theme song. Big fan of it. Hopefully it was done in one take.
Oh, dude, only one take. I only did the lyrics. My buddy Austin Miller, dude. Shout out to Austin Miller. What up, dude? Lay down the track. And look, you're a musical guy. I mean, how did you think of the instrumentals? I mean, was it...
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, dude. I mean, it just gets me pumped up. It gets me fired up. And we're all about staying stoked, disseminating dank-ass knowledge on this ep and on this podcast in general. And, dude, we're going to be getting into history of Cincinnati sports.
I'm a big history guy myself. You know what I mean? When I was in college, I don't know if you know this, I accidentally got a history minor.
Really?
Because I just... took so many history classes to satisfy the university requirements that while I was graduating, my advisor said, "Hey, you might not be aware of this, but you have a history minor."
Let's go.
And so I'm going to be giving my kind of like uncle history, meaning like there's going to be inaccuracies here, but I'm going to say it as though they're fact, and you're going to believe it.
I love that. And hey, maybe I've got it checked. I got a few little facts on the sheet here from the web, from the World Wide Web, so you know it's true.
Right.
So just buckle up for that, Danktorians. And yeah, Luke, you've got the insider's take. You're passionate about this. You're passionate about history. Maybe that's what even, you know, you're a stand-up comic, dude. I mean, I think like we're studying, you know, our own existence in this crazy world, figuring out, hey, who we are, how do we fit in, how do we freaking, you know, put that point of view forward. But first, you got to know a little bit about the world you're living in.
Yes.
You know? One way of doing that is you read books, you cruise articles, dude.
You listen to your uncle and you go, what he's saying, I'm going to base my whole personality around this.
100%, dude. But better the uncle than the dad. If it's the uncle, it's like, all right, I kind of like it. But then you meet a kid and they're like, dude, my dad said it. It's like,
shut up.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, my next door neighbor really vehemently claimed that his dad beat the shit out of Chef Boyardee. And I was like, no, he didn't.
Dude, that's amazing.
He's a cartoon. He's like, no, he's a real guy. My dad kicked his ass.
The voiceover artist behind Chef Boyardee. Yeah.
Is there a voice to him?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. I never like those commercials. I know, you know, they would animate him, but I don't know if he did anything.
Right.
But yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I just remember being like, that's not a real guy, but I think it is.
Dude, in Orange County growing up, You know, it's classic, like my dad could beat up your dad. It was always like my dad's portfolio could pound your dad's portfolio. My dad will sue you. If your dad beats up my dad will sue you.
See, it was definitely like my dad beat up your dad, sitch. Yeah, I grew up in Cincinnati because why else would you root for any of these cursed franchises? It's tough. The city of Cincinnati, Midwestern pride, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There was a while there, back in the early 1800s, they called it Porkopolis, because it was such a central hub of shipping in the pork industry.
Interesting. Here we go. Now we're getting into it, baby.
Lots of Germans.
Yeah, German settlement. Did you get your pub cheese?
Oh, I mean, in Cincinnati, I tell you what, it was like pretty shitty growing up. Like, bad times in like the early O's in Cincinnati. You got your race riots. Not a good time, right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the craft beer craze really rejuvenated a lot of those Midwestern cities. And Cincinnati, I think, like they have like an abandoned subway underneath the city. Never used it. Dug out a subway. haunted, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure haunted. No
Definitely
question.
Haunted.
No question.
But they now have like tours in Cincinnati in the area called Over the Rhine, because there's so many German immigrants that live there. And there's like a bunch of like underground beer storage places that you can now like tour through, and it's like all these tunnels underneath Cincinnati where they would store the beer.
That's dope.
Their lagers and ales back in the day.
That would be a great tour. And dude, I believe it because I was just there. Dude, I gotta give a big shout out to the sponsor of today's ep, dude, Trade Coffee, dude. Trade Coffee partners with the country's best craft roasters, dude. And don't look, I'm not just some guy. I'm snobby about my beans, baby. And they gave me some dank ones, dude. The Orem, it shows up. Dude, I get excited for it. It's like Christmas morning in a cup, dude. Every couple weeks when my new freaking batch comes, dude. And, dude, hey, they're supporting the local economy in small towns and big cities, bringing you beans from all over, dude. So Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Go to drinktable.com/dank and take their quiz to find coffee you love. Also, a big shout out to BetterHelp. BetterHelp supports your mental health goals every step of the way. It's important to identify what's getting in the way of your happiness, and if there's anything helping preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp there is to help you. And listeners get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dank. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dank for 10% off your first month, which is great.
I went out. How was it?
It was awesome, dude. Yeah. Went out for my dank ass fiance's grandma's 100th B-day.
Wow.
So happy birthday. Never met a 100-year-old before. And
she turning it up still?
She's cranking it, dude. She's cruising around. She's rolling around, dude. And, you know,
hell yeah.
She was actually a
big Joe Burrow fan.
She loves Joe Cool.
She loves Joe Burrow.
Joe Cool just slinging it around. Dude, I love that guy's purple shades. She actually has a pair of like purple shades.
I should have brought my Joe Burrow shades, dude. I'm trying to rep.
That would have been, he's so cool. He's so cool
that he's got multiple, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, what are his nicknames? I just know Joe Cool.
You got Joe Cool. You got Joe Burr.
Love,
because he's ice cold.
Oh, that's fire.
Joey B.
Love it.
You gotta love Joey. Yeah,
can't go wrong with Joey B.
But Joe Cool, Joe Bones. Burr, Joey Bones.
He bones, dude.
Let it roll.
I took a picture of that one big skyscraper building that they have. I don't know what that building's called. You got the one. Exactly. You got the one. I'm like, that's Burrow's dick. When you cruise in, you're like, definitely molded after Burrow's dick, even though it was made way before. But they knew.
They knew.
They knew. Dude, speaking of the breweries, I went to a sick ass brewery, had dank local beer called Psych Hopathy, because I'm a IPA guy.
Hop. You're a big IPA guy?
Big IPA guy. Love me some IPAs. But only one or two, because otherwise your tum tum, look out.
You know what they call an IPA, an India Pale Ale.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, baby. 100%.
You know the history.
Oh, yeah. We covered it on this episode.
Nice.
It would take longer to ferment, and then also led to higher alcohol concentrations where the Dutch East India Trade Company, because the sailors need their brew.
And then they're like, we like the taste of this hoppiness.
It's fucking dank.
And we get way drunker.
Yeah.
Quicker.
Correct. And it came back with the craft beer scene, because it's like hits a little bit better. Let's be honest. Being in a craft beer is an excuse to be like, I like getting drunk. But I'll tell you facts about it, so it's okay.
And it's an excuse to like be into unicycles and growing weird goatees.
Exactly, bro. Dude, everyone looks like a shepherd, dude. If you're into craft beer, like you look like a fucking shepherd, what I'd imagine like a biblical shepherd looks like.
And every single guy that I've ever met that was like into micro brewing their own, I'm like, how come every one of those guys is making an IPA? No one's like,
dude, yeah,
I'm doing a Kolsch. That's my first one is a Kolsch. It's like, no, it's a hop.
You're doing just a table Saison?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, get the good fuck luck. Out of here. Bro, speaking of our craft brews and our eats before we get into our sports, and let's be honest, your eats are a big part of your sporting events.
Absolutely. Beer is a central part of this story.
100%, because you need it. Skyline Chili.
Skyline Chili, absolutely.
What? This sounds you need me to like defend an it right insane. Now? I wanted to get it, but I'm like, bro, yeah, how does this not murder you? What is going on? It feels wrong.
So I've lived a lot of places that aren't Cincinnati by this point in my adult life, but I will go down swinging for it. But I'm always, when it gets brought up, I'm like already in my fight stance.
You kind of did, you cocked back a little bit.
I'm like ready to go. Cincinnati chili is a Greek style chili, and it throws people off because it's not chili.
Yes.
It's a meat sauce. It's a bolognese, if you will. It is a sauce meant to be put on other things. It's not a standalone dish. I say that you can go to a Skyline and order a bowl of Skyline chili with, you know,
with no noodles.
But it would be the equivalent of going to Olive Garden and being like, bowl of marinara, please.
Right. Hit right.
But and like old people do that, which is weird. It's when you see like an old guy just eating, I'm like, buddy, no.
Exactly, dude.
But it's got a little spice to it. They put a little bit of cinnamon. It's got a little sweetness to ever so sweet. I don't get that from it, but it's also in my blood.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you're built on this stuff.
People get miffed about the putting chili on spaghetti where it's right. like, bitch, you like chili mac. You got no problem with chili mac. Why is spaghetti all of a sudden a non-starter?
Yes, and it makes sense because it's not because people. Well, I'm thinking of a different chili. I'm thinking of a chili cook-off.
You're thinking of a Texas style.
Yes, and that's not what it is.
No, it's really not. It's like cheese conies. It's chili cheese dogs. And the real star isn't the chili. It's the half pound of finely grated, freshly grated cheddar cheese on top, and it is a mountain.
It's unbelievable. Like even in the picture, you're just like, holy shit. But I do like want to, like, honestly, I kind of want to sit on it. You know what I mean?
It's pillowy.
Yeah.
It's you can't get enough of the cheese. Everything you get at Skyline is a vessel for a pound of cheese. it's about the cheese. And it's also one of those things where when I defend it, it would be like defending Taco Bell. Like I'm not, it's like you only want to do this if you are drinking.
I was just about to ask you that.
Like you're not
would you eat it sober?
I mean, I will because I'm a piece of shit. But and like, oh, the last time I was home, I remember I rented a car and I was like doing stand up or something and I swung by my parents' house, and before I got to their house, I went and grabbed some Skyline from a drive thru and I get into their driveway and I throw it out in their garbage outside the house, and then I go in and they're like, Luke, our sweet boy who returned home to Cincinnati, we got some Skyline ready to go for you. So I doubled it up. I arrived home and double Skyline right off the bat. And it's like, it felt bad, but it goes down smooth, you know?
Dude, and it looks delicious. Like I tell you, I didn't get it because I was doing some drinking, but our night didn't go that way. It could have though.
It's a staple. It's a Cincinnati staple. A Greek chili.
All right, baby, as you can tell at this point, Luke is an expert on Cincinnati culture. Man is born and raised there.
Yep.
Let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, let's start with the NFL. You are already wearing the jersey. It's now America's new pastime. The NFL owns a day of the week. I mean, we got to do some Bengals talk here.
Absolutely.
Let's fucking get into it. Let me hit you with a quick few facts.
Please.
Let me just get the early days out of the way. And when we get to the baseball team, like anything like way before, and I'll talk a little bit about it, but like old era baseball when dudes are named like Hopper and like, you know, you got
Chucky Broopstein.
Yeah, Chucky Jeppy Malarks.
Best names.
Yeah, dude. In fact, I got to pull it up. I got a link to a few of them that are, and there's some gold names on these guys.
The wild thing is that with baseball names, they've somehow like, we still got our Mookie Betts. We still got like
true.
A few of them,
yeah,
where it's like,
Mookie Betts.
You could zap
any
Mookie
era,
Betts. Yeah, yeah.
You put him, yeah, dude, 100%. All right, so baby, you got the Cincinnati Bengals. They're playing in Ohio always. They were never anywhere else. They're always in Cincinnati, Ohio. 1937, bro. They're part of the American Football League, okay? Folds in 1937, so.
Sure.
There
didn't
you go.
Last long.
Not long. Then in 38, they open as an independent team. They go to they play in 39. And then in 1940, they join this new league after it folds. And then World War II is breaking out, so there's no dudes playing.
Fight.
And things don't really happen until afterwards. So really, that's like the early eras. You have this Bengals franchise. It's in the AFL. That folds and everything. And then World War II happens. Really, you don't get professional football returning to Cincinnati until 1967. 68. Correct. With a dude whose name I saw when I was driving down, I believe it's 75, heading south 75, is crossing over the Ohio River. Beautiful. Beautiful looking city.
Beautiful
coming
brown
in.
River.
Dude, yeah, you don't want to
river's
swim in that
not
water.
Great, but the skyline coming out from the airport from Kentucky,
beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
It's great.
You get Paul Brown.
Oh yeah.
Maybe do Legendary. We start talking about Paul Brown a little bit?
I mean, you got to talk if you're talking about starting from the beginning with the Cincinnati Bengals as an organization. Mm-hmm. There's never been a better time than now to be a Bengals fan.
Amen. Recent history made this past season.
Exactly.
So and we'll I like that you got Ocho Cinco's jersey.
I mean, this is 85. It is T. Higgins.
Is that Higgs? T. Higgins. Shit. He single-handedly knocked me out of the playoffs this year.
I'll tell you what, though. He's changing the number out of respect. He's like, nah. Ocho Cinco, you got to love it. But if we're zooming back, one of the funny things that you got to love about the Bengals is we were created as a fuck you.
Yeah. So yeah, they were.
Paul Brown, legendary coach, of the reason why the Cleveland Browns are named the Browns is Paul Brown.
Yeah, I never knew that. I thought it was like the dog. I thought it was this brown dog, but I just found that out.
The Browns is the family, and Mike Brown, son of Paul Brown, owns the Bengals to this day. I'm one of those people.
I love that.
Because I take L's on behalf of the team, so I better take
true fan.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One of the only stadiums left in the NFL that hasn't sold the naming rights to like Foot Locker Field, you know what I mean? Like whatever. Dude. It's a Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati and Lambeau Field in Green Bay. The only two.
So sick. I love that, dude.
But they fired Paul Brown.
Yeah.
And he leaves Cleveland. And
after winning the championship, they join him. He wins.
Wins many.
Yeah.
What's the closest market I can immediately establish another team? And if you look up the original Cincinnati Bengals uniforms, they are Cleveland Browns uniforms. The Browns helmet, just the standard orange helmet, but it just says Bengals on the side of it. There were the tiger stripes. That wasn't a thing. It was just a Browns helmet with a create a character default script.
Like Bengals. Microsoft Word font. Yes. Existed back then.
Just Times New Roman, like default. Yeah, it was. So we were created in spite and in hatred. And in that, you got to love it and respect it. The Bengals, as many expansion teams go, didn't have a great time early on.
No.
We did have Ken Anderson, big, great mustache, really great. Love Ken Anderson.
You got like a healthy mustache on a buff dude. Nothing like it.
Put him in the frickin' hall. But the Bengals really had their heyday in the 80s.
Yes.
The 80s. They went to the Super Bowl twice in the 80s, and they lost both times.
To the Niners. Joe Montana.
To Joe Montana both times.
I was reading a fun fact, a hurtful fact. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana, one of his things that he has over Brady is he never threw a pick in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
He fucking threw a direct pass in end zone to the cornerback. I forget his name.
To our end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
We would have won the game.
We would have won the game. Joe Montana loses. He throws a pick. And maybe, and I think that was the 82 one.
I believe so.
And
it's the drive.
Then he doesn't go back. Exactly. And you're like, dude, that changes the course of history. That one little play from the Bengals, like almost makes or breaks. Maybe Joe Montana doesn't stick around after that, whatever. So it's like the fact that guy dropped it and it was like
dropped
in
a wide
his fucking
open
breadbasket, yep. Baby.
Dropped a wide open interception to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And we didn't. And in classic Bengals fashion, we've never won.
I know.
We've never won. So,
yeah.
But
that 82 team, I think, is considered one of the best teams of all time.
They are a good team. They had a really bad time in the Super Bowl. They had like four turnovers in the Super Bowl. Like they played like shit in the Super Bowl, and they probably deserved to lose. But they almost won.
And Boomer, baby. Love Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason. Gotta love Boom.
Let's
Boom
go.
Took him in 88. We took him, and we lost again to Montana, yep, and the Niners. Very cool. Very fun. After a beautiful decade of two Super Bowl appearances, losses, but appearances, the Bengals went on in the 90s to to experience what we call in Cincinnati the lost decade.
Dude, exactly, bro. I wrote in my notes, I said, Luke, I'm going to do you a favor and skip the 90s and just go to like the Marvin Lewis sick defenses.
It's integral. When you're talking about the history of Cincinnati, there's something about the Midwest that there's this fierce pride in their sports teams and in their, they love their teams even though they're terrible. And then like moving and living in LA now, like the Rams just won the Super Bowl. You wouldn't know it.
Totally, bro.
You know what I mean? They don't care.
Dude, no.
Where I'm like, if the Bengals had won the Super Bowl, I believe the city would have burned to the ground.
Dude, yeah.
In a fun way.
Yeah, in a super fun way.
But damage would have been done.
Yeah, of course. And you got to break some public property if you win. I mean, come on. It goes with it's an unwritten rule.
But yeah, the lost decade. We got a we had a full decade of all losing seasons. I believe it ended up being 12 straight or 11 or 12 straight years with losing seasons back to back to back to back to back.
Just horrendous. Lots
of really bad front office decisions. Mike Brown, son of Paul Brown, not as gifted in the football realm.
One of the things that's beautiful about that is you know, there's nepotism across all industries, right?
Sure.
But what we love about comedy and everything is the fact that, like, look, if your dad's a famous stand-up comic, you'll probably get some slots before you, like, have earned them on a lineup
sure.
or something.
Born on third base.
Yes. Your foot will be in the door. But in order to stay in that room, you got to have the goods.
You got to have the goods, know? Or you just got to have be a billionaire and own the team.
That helps.
You got to remember, though, too, the Bengals organization, we're only just now starting to kick the moniker of like full-blown clown town organization.
Yes.
Smallest scouting department in the NFL. Team furthest north without an indoor practice field. We don't have one. They practice under the bridge.
It was just snowing, bro. I was there last week. It was just snowing.
Absolutely.
Fucking cold, bro.
It's a
practice under the bridge.
They practice under the bridge.
Of the Ohio River, dude, just swimming around.
Essentially. You can drive by and see the Bengals practice field, and there's like, there are high schools that have nicer facilities. A historically very cheap, curmudgeonly
yes.
owner. He looks a little like the Heat Miser from that Claymash. He's just like, held the city hostage and forced them to buy a brand, the stadium.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
Really cool. Just
good stuff.
Good
dude.
Stuff. But all of this pain and all of these losses, sometimes you gotta see how low it can. You gotta hit rock bottom before you can begin to heal.
Correct. Before you can change.
And we got. A few years ago, we got our boy Joe Burrow. Drafted him first overall because you have to be the worst team in the league to get the first overall pick. So
and you beat the Jags out for that, and that's nice that you guys got him. And dude, he's just the man. He looks like he's gonna pan out. I mean, you did have Carson Palmer went to my high school, my alma mater. He had some good seasons.
Had some good seasons, but then eventually he said,
"No
Mike
protection.
Brown, the owner. He goes, he doesn't care about winning." Please, I will retire tomorrow. I will never play football again. Get me the hell out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Mike Brown's like, oh, you're going to retire? Do it.
Exactly.
Just see. And the day before the trade deadline, he ends up trading him. But of course, all the cool fans in Cincinnati like took dumps on his lawn and dumped out trash can. And it's like, don't get mad at Carson. But then Carson's been talking shit ever since, though. And I'm like, come on. He's a little salty.
He's got to let it go. And it's like, Carson, bro, look, you were never quite the same after that knee injury, which you could blame on ownership because they wouldn't get him an O-line. They wouldn't pay money to protect him.
Even when he did have
one. It's why Russell Wilson's leaving Seattle. They wouldn't pay.
It's true. And then we made Andy Dalton, the Andy Dalton era. We went to the playoffs five straight seasons. Five straight wild card losses. This past year was the first time we've won a playoff game. In 31 years. So my entire lifetime,
bro.
They've never won any big game.
Yes,
we've lost every game that mattered, right? But
dude,
they weren't always,
insane.
I mean, the Bengals, but we went to the Super Bowl this year, and you better believe, like, the town was on fire. Everybody was so excited. And the future, for the first time in my 31 years of being a Bengals fan, feels hopeful in a way that I'm like, could be pretty fun.
I agree.
Could be pretty fun in the near future.
And that division, and you know, you got the Steelers who are always contenders. You got
sure.
the Ravens who are a hard-hitting team that always win. You have the Browns who suck.
But the Brownies that suck.
But the Browns are turning things around now. And the Bengals are looking legit. So I'm like, dude, that division
is
scary, especially now that Ben's gone from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but you know, you trade out one guy with the sexual assault history
right.
for another.
Oh yeah, in the same division. Yeah, you got Deshaun Watson over in Cleveland.
It's always got to be one in the AFC North.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, when it comes to Cincinnati, we have a rich history of loving our teams and losing in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got layers on. I think
we're ready to cruise on to our next layer.
All right, we got a layer.
Which
we got a layer.
All right, let's see what you got. What do you got? What do you got going on?
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Whoa, you went there?
We turned the page.
You did this to me?
We turned the page to soccer.
You did this? This is a savage move. I got to admit, this is my American bias. You went from football to football in an instant. And all right, I'm skipping down.
I mean, we got to save the.
Literally, I go, bro, I was just going to go, dude, do you know there's an FC Cincinnati? I was going to say that, dude. That was the research I did, bro.
Do I know?
All right, well, you got to educate us, dude.
All right, so one of the most beloved sports in America, soccer.
Yes, yes.
Cincinnati, a few years ago, we had a minor league team called FCC, Football Club Cincinnati.
Like it.
Right? Very European.
I love it. Yeah, I love the FCs, the Reals.
Yes, you got the little... You got your kit. They call it a kit.
I like kits.
It's not a jersey. It's a kit.
It's sick.
Which makes it seem like there's multiple pieces to it. No, it's just a shirt.
It's just a shirt. You don't get shorts.
But it's a kit. FCC was this minor league soccer team. And this was happening at a time where there wasn't a lot of fun and winning happening in Cincinnati.
No.
And so people were just itching to root for a team that was competent in any way, shape, or form. This minor league team was setting all the attendance records. They played on the field at the University of Cincinnati, at Nippert Stadium, mm-hmm. which is kind
the
of
Bearcats.
A cool stadium because it's dug into the ground. So it's
that's dope.
Yeah, when you come up on it, it's like ground level, and the stadium is dug in beneath you. It's kind
feels
of cool,
Roman.
It feels
dope,
a little
yeah.
Roman.
Yeah,
and they were setting all the attendance records. Not that it was a crazy high bar to beat, but they were packing the house for soccer games, right? And it doesn't make any sense. Nobody gives a shit.
No, exactly.
But Cincinnati was like, no, we got a good team. Like, we're supporting them. So MLS, not that big of a deal of a organization in America.
No.
You know, soccer is definitely last place in terms of the major sports.
Correct.
MLS took notice. They saw, oh my gosh, this minor league, like amateur hour club is pretty much outdrawing 90% of the teams in Major League Soccer. So in record time, they make a deal with Cincinnati and they say, you know what? You guys have something here. Teams are taking notice around this country that people are coming to Cincinnati, or people are coming to these games, packing it out. All the craft brews, they're making, you know, FCC blood orange.
Scarfs.
You know what I mean? They're doing it up. Got everything you need, right? So people say, well, they're rushing into this pretty quick. And so they say, you guys can be an MLS club if you build a brand new stadium, because we don't want you borrowing another team's stadium. So they built a big, shiny, brand new stadium on the West End in Cincinnati for FC Cincinnati. Everyone was so excited. The team, this is their fourth year in existence. All right.
Okay. This is very recent history.
Very recent history. They've only been a team for 4 years. In MLS, when a team comes in last place, you get
relegated.
A trophy.
Oh, no, you don't. You
it's called the wooden spoon. There is no relegation, like in Europe. When you're last place, you get what's called the wooden spoon. And it's a shameful thing that you don't want. Cincinnati has set the record and has three straight wooden spoons. Ever since we've entered MLS, we have come in dead last every single year. And we've set records for, get this, the first year we set the record for most goals allowed.
Let's
so
go.
Just anyone who wants to score.
You
want to
see goals happen? Come to FC Cincinnati, baby.
Exactly. Year two, we set the record for least goals scored on offense. So defense gets better, worst offense of all time. So, and then last year, just a fun mixture of dog shit.
Yeah.
And so this year, they have a brand new stadium and it's flailing. It's just already people are like, no, we can't do this.
Yeah, we don't want to go to this.
We already have the Bengals and the Cincinnati Reds. We cannot take another punch to the teeth. We just can't do it. But you know what? It's early in the season, just started. And FCC, they already have two wins, which that's like a third of the wins they had all last year. And it's a long season. So you know what? There's nowhere to go but up. And I'm gonna make the claim right now. They're not gonna get a record setting fourth wooden spoon in a row.
It's not happening this year. You know what they should do? Just hire all the women's national team to just come and play for them against the men.
I mean,
they would sell out every game.
Would do that in a second.
And
it'd
be better soccer.
Absolutely.
Like,
they'd win games.
Yeah, they would win. They would score. They'd be legit. Dude, they are fun, man. I got to tell you, I went to a little bar.
They go crazy. For they early, hoot and holler.
Dude, exactly. Like the hooligans type stuff. Maybe like not the fights and everything, but like the outrageous fans. It's fun, dude. FCLA is
Bailey.
Fun.
That's what they call it. That's what they call the, it's called the Bailey.
Oh, the Bailey.
It's like the hooligan section where you go and pound on drums.
Bro,
and
that's what
shoot
they
fireworks off.
Yeah. And, yeah. I wouldn't want to sit in there too much. But,
it's too much. But when you're in the stadium, like my brother was a season ticket holder, it is fun to be adjacent to it.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, I'm glad those guys are really committing to this.
Yes. Very sick, very cool. It's like when your buddy's hammered, he's going to jump in the pool off the roof. You're like, I'm a sick person. I'll watch this. I'm not going
to
do it.
I went to the first year that they were in existence. I took my wife to go see FC Cincinnati play LAFC, which
hell yeah.
was a very good team.
Here in Bank of America Stadium.
Here in Bank of America Stadium.
Feels like it can take off. Feels like a spaceship. Feels like
it
that's
going
to like go into the ethers.
And I tell you what, we went in there and the seats, was given tickets by a friend of mine, ended up being in their hooligan section. And so I'm like, oh no, this is bad because I'm like wearing this.
Yeah, what?
And I'm like, oh, they're going to kill me. And these guys were like, hey, you need to get the fuck out of here right now.
Yeah,
and he's
bro.
Like, I'm telling you this in a way that is as nice as I can. People here will put their hands on you, and you do not sit in
Dude,
this area.
Yeah, what?
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know where I'm supposed to go then. He's like, see up over there where there's like six little orange and blue ants up in the corner over there? That's where you sit in
yeah.
the visitor section. And Dude, I'm like, cool.
That's hilarious.
And as we were leaving, people did put their hands on us, like shoving us away. It was messed up. It was my fault to even put us in that situation. But my wife was like, I will never, ever go with you as an away fan to any of your Cincinnati bullshit ever
yeah,
again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fair.
Especially in LA where there's true psychopaths.
Oh, they're
there's
crazy.
True, like a dog. Like you go to a Reds game. Have you ever had issues as?
I mean, it's time.
Yeah, let's go, baby. Let's go. Oh, baby. Now we're talking.
You're sweating?
Now we're talking.
We've arrived.
He's dropping layers. Guys, there is a element of sexuality in this podcasting right now. Luke Knoll has been declothing. This is a great looking shirt.
Thank you so much.
And I like there's the red legs. Okay, baby.
There's Aris.
The red legs, fun fact, you probably already know. During the McCarthy era, the Reds, they didn't want to be mistaken for being communists, so they changed their name to the Red Legs.
To the Comrades.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Josephs.
Josephs.
Yeah, the Josephs.
Yeah. The Cincinnati, for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
is known as a baseball town. You know why? And now you're looking at a lot of the facts. This
I'm
is where the this is where the
you.
Uncle section comes in.
All right,
in,
let's
right?
go, baby. Dial
the
me
Cincinnati
up.
Reds. Are the first professional baseball team.
Yes. Claimed by the Reds, though. I don't know if it's been corroborated.
Here's the story.
Yes.
All right. Now, this is when I need, like, yeah. an IPA.
Dude, exactly, bro.
This is when I bust
we
out the IPA.
We should have got some IPAs, dude.
So.
Should have got some $18 beers in honor of going to a baseball game.
That there's particulates in there.
Yeah,
you can,
exactly.
I'm like, oh, this is somebody didn't strain out the mash, right?
Eat some cheese that they do fucking freeway lines with.
Exactly.
Sorry, I sidetracked
no,
you.
No, no, no. That's what this is about.
Let's go, baby.
But the Cincinnati Reds were part of like a little regional professional teams, right? And they were kicked out of this small gathering of regionally professional teams because they served beer at the events. They
yes.
were like, on Sundays.
Yes,
on Sunday games, they served beer. So they're like, you guys, we can't do this with you guys.
God
you guys
got to
go
like
do your
this.
Own thing.
God, you can have a sip of wine on Sunday. That's it. No beer.
Yeah, you can drink the blood of Christ if it transubstantiates
yes,
into Jesus' blood, but we're not trying to serve up a lager at a baseball game on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
No, this is family time.
So they kicked them out of this league, this amateur hour league. The owner of the Cincinnati Reds like, fuck you guys, we're serving beer no matter what.
Let's go, legend.
This is America's game.
Damn straight.
So they end up seeing other regional clubs around the Midwest and the East Coast, and they sent out an invite to all of these cities saying, in kind of a fake it till you make it kind of telegram went out. I don't even know if it was a telegram, but a letter.
Yeah.
And it was like, we are having a meeting of the minds. We want all the owners of these teams to come to Cincinnati.
Let's go.
We're going to establish Major League Baseball with these cities, the big cities. We want all you guys there. We will see you in a few days. We'll let you know how it is. No one shows up.
Dude, yeah. I was picturing like Al Capone looking dudes eating steaks being like, let's go, boys.
This is when it gets good, though. No one shows up. And so the owner goes, all right, I'm going to send another. He waits a little while and he sends out a, oh my God, what a party. So sad that you missed it. You were the only one that didn't go.
Amazing.
We would have loved to have you in. We're going to have another meeting in a month and everybody wishes you were there, but you don't want to be the one guy who's not here. Everyone shows up.
Bro, that's
They didn't fact check him. They were like,
yeah, they didn't write each other letters, dude. No, they're not.
He doubled down on it and was like, you guys fucked up. Everyone else was here.
That's genius.
Lies to him. They all show up.
Dude, that's amazing.
The MLB is born. Cincinnati is a baseball town, first and foremost. Opening day, the first day of the baseball season in Cincinnati, is essentially a holiday. If you work in Cincinnati, you get the day off because it's a giant Rage Fest parade downtown, shuts down completely.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, you got to go get your Reds baseball because that's about as much hope as you have is the first day.
It's fresh.
It's fresh.
We're undefeated right now.
Exactly. You know, of the major sports in Cincinnati, the Reds are the only ones that have ever won it all.
Five times is it?
I think we've won it five times. And even that, there's a bit of a asterisk by one of our wins. In the 1919 World Series, there was a massive scandal called the Chicago Black Sox, if you've ever heard of that in baseball, where it was the Reds versus the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. However, the White Sox, there was gambling happening where they threw the World Series.
Whoa.
And so the Reds won the 1919 World Series, but the White Sox threw it.
Whoa, I didn't know
and
that.
And so one of our five wins like the most fucked up, like cursed, like you didn't win.
Dude, that's amazing. Like it's
messed
up. You guys didn't know that.
We were
balling.
We're balling.
You're innocent. You guys are innocent in that.
I mean, the boys showed up to play.
Yeah, and you got there, you won the pennant.
Absolutely.
That's messed up.
Shout out to the 1919 Cincinnati squad. I know you guys are out there.
And shout out to serving booze at your games and saying, you know what, we still want our booze. And look, I'm not condoning drinking a lot. I'm just saying, use it as a tool.
Absolutely.
You know, use it as a tool for betterment and change.
Lube it up.
And also, what a savage, great move by that owner. I did not know that. See, that's the drunk uncle stuff that I need to be getting, dude. Luke, that's
that good, good. Now, the Cincinnati Reds had a golden era in the 70s.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Called the Big Red Machine.
Big Red Machine. That's Big next Red in Machine. My notes.
And Big Red Machine.
Bold, right here.
Is widely considered one of the greatest teams ever assembled in baseball. And that there's really, I'll tell you what, like the Reds really have been coasting on that for a long time. The city of Cincinnati is running out of gas because there's only so much you can be like, the 70s. It's like, it's been
50 years now, fucking
guys.
A?
Can we? Yeah. But you know, Pete Rose.
Yes, you got Pete Rose.
The hit king.
Yeah, dude, he's the man, dude. His stats, you look at his stats, I literally just pulled him up right now.
Unreal.
You got what is WAR? Aaron, I might need help on this.
Wins above replacement.
Okay, so that's a true value statistic.
Yes.
79.6.
He's a baller. He has the most hits in baseball history. However, he is not allowed in the Baseball Hall of Fame because it was found that while he was a coach, he was betting on baseball games that he was a part of.
Yes.
And people were saying Pete Rose to this day maintains he never bet on himself to lose. He's like, I always bet on the Reds to win.
Yeah.
Which, not a good look.
Not good.
But not having Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame would be like not having Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the all-time leading NBA scorer.
Yes.
This is the man with the most hits in baseball of all time.
4,256.
No one's ever been better at hitting a baseball than Pete Rose, and he's not in there. So it's like a little bit of a like.
It's stupid, dude.
I think they're just going to wait till he dies and then put him in.
Which
I think
is so savage. It's so pretty savage. Mean. And dude, he's old now. And I met Pete Rose because I was walking by the Mandalay Bay.
It's pretty funny.
And he has a deal there where he sits there and signs autographs. And he's like, you can tell he probably had a scotch and he's like old now. And you're just like, and then my buddy, I'm like, who is that? And my buddy was, that's fucking Pete Rose. And then you go, what? And then you go in and you meet Pete Rose and like, you pay because you're almost like, I should. You know what I mean? And you're like, I should pay for this. And no, there was no one in line. In a sports memorabilia shop. Just right there, dude. I was like, holy shit. Greatest player of all time. And Aaron, you got to weigh in.
Greatest hitter.
What do you think about? Yeah, greatest hitter. What do you think about this bullshit? These writers not letting Barry Bonds in, not letting fucking Pete Rose in.
He's a Cardinals fan though, so there is like an innate hate to the Reds.
Oh yeah, that's
true. He probably like loves that they're not that Pete Rose isn't allowed in.
No, we got Pete Rose. Pete Rose for sure.
You got to put him in.
Yeah,
you got to put him in.
And that's coming from a guy who would have a bias. Yeah, that's coming from Aaron.
I mean, fuck Nick Castellanos till he dies. But Pete Rose for sure. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Big Dick Nick. Love Big Dick Nick, dude.
Dude, that's a great fucking
name. That's the true
Big Dick Nick.
You know his curse that he has?
No.
Right? So last season, I think it was last year, two seasons. I forget what year it was. But he has a knack for hitting home runs while an announcer is delivering like a somber message. Our announcer in Cincinnati got caught on a hot mic using a slur. Ooh. And is... got fired, but his last broadcast, he was like, it's become a meme at this point where he's like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to put on this headset again. I don't know if I'll ever be able to announce another game. There's a drive in the left field by Nick Castellanos and it's a home run, so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, like, dude, amazing, and so bro.
But it's been happening over and over again. We're like, even last week, a guy was talking about like making an apology for a DUI and Nick Castellanos interrupted it. But look, it's very funny.
He wasn't making the best decision of my life.
Exactly. He has like an uncanny ability to interrupt somber moments with home runs.
Let's go, baby. Start lay. Come on.
But the Reds did win the year I was born. They won the World Series in 1990.
Let's go.
But that is the most recent success, like championship win that the city of Cincinnati has.
Yeah.
We did go to the Super Bowl last year.
You went to the Super Bowl. And in the 90s, you guys had the Nasty Boys, this pitching staff.
That was the 1990s World Series.
This no-name pitching staff that was dirty that, like, I guess got you guys through the Bengal era, kind of picked up a little slack.
I mean, it kind of was still bad. This is 1990. So, like, even the Bengals won a playoff game in, like, 1990 season.
Yeah.
So it was, like, after that, just bad. Like the Reds have not won a playoff series since 1994. So they are a dog shit organization, a small market team with an owner that just lets, like, the Reds are essentially a farm team for other Major League Baseball teams. Like, if somebody is really good on the Reds
later,
you go, cool, that was so fun, Nick Castellanos. It was really fun having you on our team. See you. I can't wait for you to go to a city that will pay you the money you have earned, because the Reds won't do that.
God,
but he also opted out.
So. He opted out. I mean, no, people don't want to be there. Why would you? They don't care about winning.
Not the business of winning.
They don't want to win. And so they are my team and I root for them and I pay attention to them. And it's very masochistic. It's like, it's just hurt me, daddy. But in other years I had hope and they would hurt me. This year is like, I don't think I've ever been less excited for a baseball season to start, just because they shipped out all of our guys.
Because you guys had a nice hot start last year, didn't you?
They were in the mix until the last month of the season. Yeah, they kind of sputtered when it mattered, but which is classic Cincinnati. But hey, it's sad that like being above 500 at all is like a great year for us. Like,
yeah,
I'll take it.
I think the only like hope you have with a team that's not willing to pay your big boys is your big players is getting. Like a Nasty Boys, you would need some guys who are just fucking beast mode pitchers to come up and really take the brunt of that, and like kind of like a Moneyball.
You would need
a Goldilocks Moneyball.
That would require savvy moves to be made, though. Whereas
it's
the
not happening.
That's what's tough about the MLB, though, is that it is tough for a smaller market to compete, especially paired with when you have a terrible owner that doesn't give a shit.
It's like the closest to F1, which is like has innate biases. Like teams that have money will be better.
Of
like,
course, yeah. Like, it's like, you're like, oh, Ferrari's good or yeah. whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
Mercedes dominant. You're like, yeah, they have the most money and like by like literally 200% more money.
Yeah, you look at the Dodgers, like payroll is like I think it was 2 years ago or was it last year? I don't remember. But the Dodgers spent like 10 times as much on their players as the, you know.
The World Series they won against the Rays, it was like
$300 million to $30 million.
Yeah. The exact same methodology, but just more money behind it. And it's like, well, that won.
That's what sucks. And then
it's
like
kind of lame.
Like you described, like the best case scenario is like you have a great farm team, you develop your guys, you make some smart, like, you buy low on guys that still have gas in the tank. And then even if everything goes great, all the stars align, then what I described earlier happens where it's like, man, you guys had such a great year. And now the following year, those players will be poached off by teams that care.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's a tough one, but I'll tell you what, the Bengals going to the Super Bowl really has shifted the focus off of, like, I hope that pressure gets put on the Reds to have to compete because the city was so alive with Bengal fever this year that I'm like a little anxious to see if people are more willing to give a middle finger to the Reds and be like, we're not gonna, like, we have a winning team now, so we cannot love you guys anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
and in the most popular sport. And speaking about your Reds making bad choices, they're guilty of one of the worst trades maybe in MLB history with Frank Robinson, when they traded him to the Orioles, and then they lost to those Orioles. Then he also went on to become a great coach. But it's like, they even did it back in the day. This was fucking in like the 50s.
We do a pretty good job of ruining people's lives and careers, like Joey Votto. It's just like, thanks so much for allowing the city of Cincinnati to just waste a Hall of Fame career. Just never give you any chance to win anything.
That's kind of what the Angels are doing to Trout right now.
It's Shohei's like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, I know. He's like, this ain't good.
I can't stay here. Yeah.
He probably won't because they're paying all, he probably can't.
But I still love, like, and I know people listening to this, there's people who like history, right?
Yes.
And so there's something about a city that historically hangs its hat on being a baseball town and has such a rich baseball history to now be paired with such a like shameful, like embarrassing,
yeah,
like doesn't give a shit type of ownership, which is sad.
But they need the original owner. They need someone who can just lie and be like, dude, it's cool here. Trust me, we have the sickest parties.
Joe Burrow.
Our clubhouse. Yeah. Joe Burrow likes to hang out in the Reds clubhouse. Trust us, he does. He has stogies down there. Guys, come play.
Don't forget they used to have Marge Schott, who thought Hitler had some great ideas.
Yeah. We had a very, very, very racist owner, but guess what? She was a girl boss. No, but it is super fucked up. She
cancels it
racist out. Yeah.
Dude. Oh, man, that's fucked up.
She would take
up.
Her mastiffs out to shit on the field.
No, is this like the owner who the movie Major League was based off of? Even though that's, of course, Cleveland, but
Marge Schott was just this curmudgeonly old lady that was very racist and Nazi sympathizer. Really cool history.
Yeah, good fun stuff. Once again, I want to give a shout out to Trade Coffee, dude, for connecting customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters, dude. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns, dude. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. And I got to tell you, dude, I freaking cruised over to Trade Coffee, dude. I went to their website, bro, and I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to give you the info in a second. You take a little quiz, and it asks you what type of coffee you like, dude. And guess what? I passed that quiz because I got that first bag, dude, and it was dank. And honestly, dude, Trade delivers that bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you like to do it. Dude, I like to do a little French press with the dank fiance, dude. You know, I like to grind it myself, dude. Get into it. I really get into my coffee. But if you're looking for something quick, get it ground up the way you like it, dude. And Trade guarantees you're going to like that first bag, dude. It'll replace it, bro. So Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/dank. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/dank and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/dank for $30 off. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals or something interfering with your happiness? Check out betterhelp.com/dank. Look, I think it's important to take care of your mental health. And I think, you know, this is a history podcast. And for so long, you know, mental health was either hidden away or frowned upon if you got help for it. And that's not the era we're in. And that's not the vibe I'm putting out. I think it's important to be happy and work on whatever's troubling you, depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, anger, sleep, whatever it is. BetterHelp matches you up with the right counselor. In fact, it's so popular right now that people have been using BetterHelp so much that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. You can do it from the comfort of your own home, right there online, so you don't have to go anywhere or that's uncomfortable, you know. For you, can just do it right from the comfort of your own home, which is super convenient and easy, and everything is professional, affordable, and confidential. So I want you to start living a better and happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dank. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dank.
When I was like a little kid, We're big Indiana Jones household.
Huge, the best.
My dad would like put us, me and my brother, to bed, and he would say, "This is how we say goodnight in Austria." And he would like give you a little kiss on the forehead. "Oh, good night, guys." Tuck you in. And he says, "This is how we say goodnight in Germany." And then he would like rattle us in our bed and like mess with us. But which is just a quote from Indiana Jones in Last Crusade when she kisses him goodbye and then the German guy punches.
Yep, exactly. And yeah. This is how we say goodbye. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Great good movie, times. Dude.
Great flick.
Probably the best one. Speaking of movies, I wanted to ask you this, and I really got to ask you, do you like the movie Moneyball? Do you think it's a good movie?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a fine movie, but I think when you just describe it to somebody, you're like, what? You're like, oh, and they like won a championship that year? It's like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, but they won a lot of games.
They won a lot in a row in the middle of a 162 game season where a single game means nothing. They won like 20 games in a row. It's like, oh, did they didn't win a World Series? No.
But then the Reds went on to win it with that methodology. See, I like that movie. It annoys me how talented Brad Pitt's daughter is, but Aaron notoriously hates that movie because they don't mention that they had the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, there is a little bit of a revisionist history, I suppose, where it's just like, look, we got bargain bin guys and we were pretty good. We didn't win at all. Yeah. But we were pretty good.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's more fun to watch hitting and stuff. I guess for like the viewer, you're like, okay, watch this guy. Although, baby, Wild Thing in Major League, I love watching Wild Thing throw that thing.
Yeah, what is your favorite sports movie?
This is a great question. I think might have to go Caddyshack.
Caddyshack? That's a good choice.
I might have to.
It's a good choice. Sport.
I love comedy. It's a sports comedy. Fuck.
I feel like there's a lot of ones where I'm like, oh, I like that. And then I'm like, I don't think I've seen that since I was 10.
What do you
like?
What?
Replacements.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
Replacements.
I love
is great,
that movie, dude. With Keanu.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen Replacements since I was probably like 13.
I watch it like it's a movie that's always on in a hotel room for some reason. I'm like, fuck yeah.
That's the Longest Yard remake for me. That I'm just like, yeah. I've seen the Longest Yard remake like 11 times. Yeah. I don't know why.
Dude, I loved Waterboy.
Like, I mean, Waterboy.
But I love Waterboy. It's so fun.
Sandler,
dude,
with like Happy Gilmore. He had some good sports movies.
Happy Gilmore's amazing. And then Will Ferrell did his whole thing of like, I'm going to take like figure skating, NASCAR, basketball, and just like kicking and screaming, youth soccer.
Sure.
Just make movies about
dodgeball.
Sports. Dodgeball? Yeah, you got dodgeball.
Dodgeball's pretty good. But as far as like sports movie that's like, I think there's comedy sports movie, and then there's like,
yeah, like
uplifting, like Remember the Titans. Like
Miracle.
Type. I remember in...
Remember the Titans is great.
It being involved with junior high school football and our team being terrible and the coach sitting us down and making us watch Remember the Titans just to be like,
let's go,
you guys, we want you guys to be like this.
They're like, amazing.
Living in a pre-racist or like in a racist South. Like, I'm like, this, I don't know if this is like a
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Get all the guys together type of movie. But yeah, I just remembered, like, I was like, we should probably be practicing.
Yeah, we should. Exactly, dude. And it's like, I don't know where you're at school, but I'm just picturing Orange County. It's like, we're all white, dude. It's like, dude, yeah, we're all like, what are you talking about, dude?
Yes.
All of our dads work for, like, are in the same hedge fund, dude.
You're not Denzel.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude. Exactly. Yeah. Dude. You're Spencer's dad, dude.
Every one of us is the guy that eventually gets paralyzed in the car wreck.
Dude, yeah. Exactly. Bertier, dude. Yeah. We're all Bertiers, bro.
Oh, Lord.
Dude, fucking A, bro.
Same with Rudy. It's like Rudy is a great, great flick, uplifting story, but it's like, but what's the culmination? He's like, he worked, he put in thousands of hours to be able to play one series of Notre Dame football.
Dude, exactly.
Where it's like, that's actually pretty fucking depressing. Like, it's cool, it's uplifting, but it's like, that's a lot. That's a lot of, like, put in the work and you will be rewarded with 30 seconds of pleasure and then right back to your shit
exactly,
life.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah.
But, dude, the soundtrack, bro.
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's all time, dude. It's like, it's just... Before I go to my drill factory, Luke, I don't know if I've ever told you about my drill factory, but that's where I whack off.
Sure, yeah,
Sometimes I'll play jock jams, you know, but sometimes I will do the Rudy soundtrack and just really go in there and earn it, you know?
Now...
And you got to get in the mood.
A jock jam does get you going and bow, ready to go. I'm a big fan of, like, that era of 90s house where, you know, ba-ba-da-ba-dap, dip-dop.
Dude, I love that. Ba-ba-da-ba-dap, dip-dop. Here's to the night, dancing free.
Love that. Yeah, to me, I think of skating. Yeah, a little bit of Sony. A little Amber.
Dude, yeah, let's go.
LaBouche.
Dude, some Vanga Boys, dude. Give me some... Dude, put me in a middle school dance DJ set. Like, that's what's up.
Put me in a skating party and let me go to Eiffel 65's deep cuts. Don't give me Blue. Give me PlayStation.
Give me deep cuts, bro. Give me some Zombie Nation, dude.
Exactly.
Darude.
Give me Darude, not Sandstorm.
Yeah.
The other songs.
Yeah, exactly. Darude, the other stuff.
Yeah.
That's our new Time Life album, dude. Just the 90s. House,
not
other
the
stuff.
Song. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, the album, not the stuff you know.
This isn't the ones you know. You know, Hadaway's "What Is Love." We're not playing that one. We're playing one of the deep cuts.
Exactly. Dude, fuck
yeah. I bet Hadaway would appreciate that though. That people are like loving the rest of his catalog.
100%. I mean, if you're an artist, don't you want to be recognized like for all of your
for the body of your work?
Yeah,
not just one.
You know, hey, get paid, but also at the same time. You know, you're putting your soul into all those pieces, right?
Right.
Is there some music that you do that you absolutely, where you're like, fuck, man, I love this shit? Or is there something that's like, you're like, people, you know, I wish people would got this one a little more.
The other day I was driving back from some stand-up gigs in San Diego and I turned on what I call my mom playlist, which is like songs my mom would blast in the car when I was growing up. And it's like a significant amount of like, 90s R&B, lot of Boys to Men, lot of like Casey and JoJo, like I guess that's like early O's.
Yeah.
But I remembered the song Crazy by Casey and JoJo. That was my first slow dance song, which
is
a really bad first. Like it's you shouldn't. That's not.
No, dude, no.
But I love it. And that was
awesome.
I feel like the dawning of like right after Cher blasted onto the scene with the auto-tune voice in Believe.
So good, dude.
Casey and JoJo was like, let us at that.
Yep.
Like before T-Pain really put it on the map.
Did work. Dude, my mom, I remember in eighth grade, I was listening to a lot of Chronic 2001.
Oh,
every suburban white kid was.
I mean, come on.
And
grip it and
really
rip it.
Identifying with it, heavily identifying
Drill
with
room
it.
Or no?
Yeah. Dude, I got in trouble one summer day because it had explicit lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, like, you know, my older brother, like, we all, like, negotiated in carpool. We're like, Mom, we need to listen to it. Like, come on, Mom. It's like, fine. But then I'm going to put on my music. And we're like, okay, deal. Bro, my mom.
She's in a Nate Dogg.
Unironically. Yeah, dude. She's like, Warren G, dude. Regulators, let's go.
Yeah.
Dude, no, she played Menopause the Musical, and she really liked it. And it was like a musical of like these like women in their 50s, and they had like funny songs about menopause.
Hey.
And bro, here's the thing.
You dug it?
We made the deal. And we sat there and we listened to it. And Other times she would also put on ABBA, which we got no problem with.
No, no.
Baby, you could play ABBA all jams. You want. Let's go.
Hit after hit. Carvin hits off the bump.
Huge. Huge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huge for carpool.
My mom big time Shania Twain too.
Same with my mom. My mom also loved, is she the one who goes, feels like a woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, my mom big time on Shania Twain.
Big time. Shania really shook up the scene because people were mad at her that she wasn't country enough for them. And it's like, how about you let Shania live?
Yeah, let her do her thing and express
Free
herself.
Free Shania.
Yeah. And that song was a banger, and it probably topped all charts, not just country charts.
See, now if Shania Twain came out and was hardcore racist, I'd be like, Shania.
Dude, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Shania.
That feels worse.
What? Yeah, it just feels worse. All bad. All bad.
All bad.
But feels worse.
Feels
surprise.
Worse. Marge
shot. Surprise.
Saw it coming. Saw it coming. It was cooking underneath the surface.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google a picture of this lady.
My mom, big time Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates
was in the
rotation.
Oh, dude, I mean,
Hall &
Oates, let's go, bro. That's all time. You can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Prince. I went to a Prince concert with my mom.
Whoa.
Yeah, my buddy and his mom.
That's pretty cool.
It was really cool. I remember, like, I had a volleyball practice, and I told the coach, and the coach was like, and, like, he's like, you know, you can't miss practice. But I was like, I'm going to see Prince. He's like, all right. He's like a younger guy. He's like, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Send me the
set. That's pretty sick.
My mom, when I, like, back in the good old days where you had to purchase CDs, really cool times.
Yes.
I remember, like, taking CDs as a kid, and my mom would, like, the way that she would vet them is she would just look at the back and read the track list. Dude. And so, like, I remember I wanted the CD. It was Eve 6.
Oh, bro. Hard in a blender. Watch us spin around to a beautiful oblivion.
Exactly. Yeah, I took it. Good. I was like, dude, mom, I need Eve 6. And she looks at the back and she's like, good try. And I was like, what? What's up with Eve 6? And one of the songs was called Sunset Strip, Bitch. And so that fucking song kept...
Damn it,
Eve
dude.
6, I tried to buy your album. I tried to support you guys in your art. But you had a song in there called Sunset Strip, Bitch.
I was just like, if you had
Do you go to camera
explicit?
Ever to Eve 6?
Oh, yeah.
You talk to Eve 6?
Dude, you got... Hey, Eve 6, listen up, dude. Guys, why you got to do that to Luke? Why you got to do that? Just put the little, you know... This was before Twitter and stuff. Put the percent sign, hashtag sign, asterisk thing with a B at the beginning. So at least your mom knows, okay, these guys, you know, they're censoring it, I guess.
I know, but I still think even if you
Come
put
on,
that,
Eve
she would have saw
Come
that.
On, Eve 6.
Eve 6. I tried so hard to monetarily support you guys.
You know what was the best song that was or the band that, like, I really loved their tunes but didn't get what they were about in the time, but it's all about, like, have a troubled childhood, is that band.
Are you talking about Everclear?
Everclear. Every one of their songs, bro.
How did I know?
Yes, dude.
That you're like, yeah, it's all about, like, dad.
Dude, yeah, exactly.
Father of mine.
But, like, I'm listening to that and, like, really into it, but I'm like, I'm not hearing any word that's being said.
No, the song Everything is Wonderful.
Dude, yeah, bro.
Now it's like... supremely depressing.
So dark.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, listen, I'm like, this is a banger, dude.
This is a jam, Everclear.
Dude, yeah.
Not to be confused with Everlast.
Like Everlast, dude.
Different vibe, though.
Total different vibe, like a little bit lower. That's what how's their
God forbid you ever have to walk a mile in his shoes.
Dude, I want to listen to that. Dude, that's a great
Baby,
song.
Remember what it's like to save the blues.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
That's a great song.
The
dude.
Lyrics to that song are very funny. There's some, like, like, he's like, you used to hang down on the corner with drugs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he just throws in with drugs.
With drugs. Yeah, with drugs. Dude. Also loved little Marcy's Playground, dude.
I mean, come
I smell sex.
My mom wouldn't let me have that. My mom didn't like that because it was on Now. Do you remember Now?
Mm-hmm.
I believe Marcy's Playground, Sex and Candy was on Now. And my mom was like, you better not be listening to that track. I don't like the words in this one.
It's amazing, dude.
Don't like that at all. Next song. Now, Cherry Pop and Daddies, that I like.
Yeah, Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Also
on
Now.
That's a fun song.
Yeah.
And you're like, if you hear their name, right? She's like, that's a good, it's a catchy tune.
Look, they're good guys. Yeah. They're trying to bring, like, the
They popped one cherry.
Work.
There's just a few of that. All of their wives, cherries, they popped. Then they're in love. That's it.
That is a
it's Christian. They're
wild
a Christian
band name, though.
It's insane that that's
Cherry
fucking
Daddies.
What their name is, dude.
That's and especially to be named the Cherry Pop and Daddies, and then to play like lounge music, like to play Zoot Suit Riot, like to be like the cheesiest dudes, and then be like, yeah, we fuck.
Yes.
Like, our name is We Fuck Virgins.
Dude, it's like, what's with these guys? These guys are animals, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I played someone. Actually, I'm just going to be fully honest with you. My brother had a gamer tag that he's since changed.
Oh, no.
That was Cherry Poppins.
Cherry Poppins. That's great.
That's pretty hilarious. That's pretty good.
Did he spell it like with an AR, like a Mary Poppins like type
Mary
of
Poppins,
thing?
Mary Poppins, exactly. Cherry. Pretty hilarious, dude.
Cherry Poppins is good. Mine got removed. mine was, it got flagged by like PlayStation. Like, this is like the early days of PlayStation or whatever. Like the Ethernet cable wired through my downstairs basement. My dad's like, what is you? I've never seen you put this much work into anything.
Exactly.
It's like, I need to be able to play online versus my boys.
100%.
And my name was MYDIXIEWRECKD. My Dixie wrecked. My Dixie wrecked. And like, as a kid, thought I was the funniest, coolest
genius
guy. I'm like, read it though.
I want everyone to know
it, though.
I'm gaming with a boner.
I'm playing
right
Star
now.
Wars Battlefront 2 online and tonight.
Here's the thing. I'm always multitasking. I am gaming.
This is my drill room.
Hard. Yeah, this is my drill. Exactly, dude. The den, the family den is my drill room.
Yeah. My,
get out,
my
siblings.
Whole basement.
Yeah. Yeah, tornado shelter. Good luck.
Did you ever get caught when you were a kid?
Never got caught, dude. And to this day, knock on wood, I have 4 siblings, bro.
Wow.
My parents didn't get divorced till after I moved out of the house to college. So, and we lived with my grandma and we had pets. Could have been caught by a lot of things.
See, I got home early from high school. And so I knew like my window, right?
Get it done.
And I remember it, I was probably like 14, went downstairs. We had our family computer in the basement, dial up Juno internet service.
Juno.
The T1, worst one.
I had T1. Just, not bad. Or, you know, you always looked for like Kazaa, DSL, D1. 99% download, pause, watch, delete.
100%.
Yep.
And that was the situation. But in my, our computer was in our downstairs like guest room. We had like a little guest room. Yeah.
This was the thing. You had a computer room, people.
We had a computer room.
This is historical.
And so I got home and I was like, I'm gonna make a day of this, because my dad and mom, they're not coming home for hours.
Yeah.
I'm good. My
Let's
brother,
go.
He's doing something. I'm like, I only
I might
have
eat
one
a
bro.
Sandwich.
I was like, I'm going full nude. And so I stripped down and I'm like,
Bengals jersey on only.
Yeah, only Ocho. Yeah. And so I remember like really making a day out of it and was just like really enjoying myself, exploring what was up.
Yeah.
And I was laying on the guest bed.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying myself. My grandfather. I hear him bopping down the stairs and he's going, I hear like the stairs and he's going, looky, 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 looky. He's saying, he's like mumbling my name, like looky, 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 kind of sing song. He's bopping, he's grandpa bopping. And I'm full naked. And so I know, like, I have like 3 seconds and I'm like, there's no way. The only thing I had time to do, I jumped up and I turned the monitor off. And turned the sound off and jumped back onto the bed, just face down, ass naked, and then pretended to be asleep. I pretended to be asleep. And my grandpa comes into the room and he goes, looky, looky, look. Oh, oh. he goes, oh, he's asleep.
And he
just,
bro.
About face, turn around, went back upstairs.
This
and I was
is
like,
a grandfather. He knew exactly, dude.
He had to know, but some part of me was like, I don't even know. Because my grandpa was like, was never the sharpest tool in the box.
Right.
But this a very sweet guy. But yet never talked about it, never brought it up. But
he's like,
I think
kid likes to sleep naked.
Yeah. I think he was just like, it was hot.
That's lucky. It wasn't winter. It's lucky.
It wasn't winter. Yeah. It was good and warm outside. And I was like, yep, got caught pretty good by my grandpa, but not, you know, just my naked butt.
Didn't really ever have to face the shame. Didn't ever have to do that, but just
I walked
ruined
in.
Ruined your session.
Have you walked in on other people?
No, never.
Wow.
Never.
In college, we had to make a schedule on our wall. I lived in a quad. I went to Ohio University and we had a quad and it was one room, four guys.
Oh, and so, like, disaster.
We would have all, it was an absolute disaster, but we all four had our like schedules up on the wall. So, and we would have the time blocked off of like, this is Luke's time.
Hilarious, dude.
This is Luke's time. And if you get out of class early, you need to let Luke know that you're on your way back.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I definitely came in on a buddy of mine, Andrew's time, multiple times. Walked in on him. He came in on me once in college, but I was just, at that point, just cool down porning.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're just chilling.
I was like, I've already done it.
Yeah. Just let me just finish the story arc here.
I just need to know.
Does this cabinetry get fixed?
Exactly. I need to know if the hinges, if it was the hinges or if it's just rotten from the core. Correct. Yeah, this is just termite damage or if, and I don't know why anal is involved.
Yeah, now that that's out of the way and they've experienced that together, let's go.
I need to see you repair this. Yeah. I hope that there's like, I'm sure there's a lot like isn't there a thing on Pornhub where it's like we can tell you when the hottest moments of the porn happen because that's when people log off.
Yes.
Because they're done.
Yes.
But I wonder if just no one's ever made it to any end of any porn and there's like satisfying resolutions at the end where it's like
amazing.
It's just crazy to think that you're my stepdad. This is going to fundamentally change our relationship forward. Dude. And I think it's in our best interest to get ahead of it and allow I know your mom was in the room the whole time.
Yeah, I know she was watching.
And I know she was kind of cartoonishly coaching you.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Your age difference doesn't seem believable that that's your mom.
0%.
It seems like she's maximum 10 years older than you, mm-hmm. which I guess biologically is a possibility, but I'm hoping that's not the case.
Exactly. That's the real issue going on here. This whole scenario is frowned upon, but let's really tackle that.
And honestly, and then the guy turns to the camera. He's like, "Is she? Are we really going to call her a MILF? She's 30 years old.
Exactly.
Like, then in that case, it's like, when are we starting the? You know, are you when a MILF after 23? Yeah,
exactly. And this isn't even Hollywood. This is Ventura or wherever the hell. This is Chatsworth.
Yeah, this is the end of a video that no one's ever watched.
Exactly. People are like, all right, well, let me just get out of here.
I got
to go send this email.
Yeah, I'm at work.
Speaking of an email, you want to answer a question from a fan and then bone out? But I think
absolutely.
Nice tight. Maybe let's just do one and then cruise out, dude.
One if it's a good one.
Yeah.
Two, if it's stinker.
All right, that's a good call. Let's pull it up.
It's a really easy answer.
All right. Stride, my dog. Hope all is well. Wondering if you and Aaron would be so kind as to give me and my homie some direction. We got a batch party in San Diego in a few weeks.
Great.
Staying in Pacific Beach. PB. What up? Legit. Yeah, and Luke goes to San Diego frequently, so he can weigh in for sure.
PB's looking, a good time.
The best, dude. And looking for some must grub taco burrito spots and sick bars to post up at. Your local expertise would be greatly appreciated. Moreover, if either of you want to make a celeb appearance at the Pong table, that would be even more sick. Coming in married dude with kids to a soon be married dude. Never say no to an opportunity to hang with the boys. I consider us boys even though we've never met. / you did send me a dank cameo to my boy though. Oh, nice. Legit.
Nice.
And then it says jobless. Bo Stover, dude.
Let's go, dude. Shout out to Bo Stover.
Yeah, that's a good handle right there. Bo Stover, dude.
Bo Stover is just walk into any bar in Pacific Beach. Let them know, like, they may not card you, Bo, but just let them know your name is Bo Stover and they're like, on the house.
I think there's always a tab open under Stover in every bar in PB.
They're going to have a seat ready for you.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, maybe you want to lead this one off, baby. I mean, what do you? You're the most native San Diegan here. I lived there for a few years.
Yeah, but I haven't been there in 14 years.
You haven't
I haven't raged there. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I did a lot of raging.
I feel like
in PB.
That main drag in PB.
Oh, bro.
Like I don't know I don't know how deep Bo's rolling with it because if it's like a manageable party size of your boys. I think you literally can't go wrong.
I think you hit every bar is what I was going to say. You don't, if you want to post up, I mean, there used to be a spot called Moon Doggies and Typhoon Saloon, which are since gone, but I went down there recently and there was an axe throwing bar. Actually, dude, Cash Street Bar. It switched ownership, but that's your post up bar. It's only a beer and wine bar, then get out and go rage at other spots.
There's the main drag in PB that's, I'll describe it as just supremely boppable.
Yes. That's a great phrasing.
You'll be supremely boppable and you'll be able to hit, I say don't plan to post up anywhere, but the food is tougher. Like if you have like a wreckage crew of like 15 boys.
Yeah.
I think you plan to not go a sit down.
No, you get tacos. You get fish tacos somewhere, maybe at World Famous.
They got a million poke places.
Exactly,
too.
Bro.
You can't go wrong.
There's sushi spots. If you want to maybe a sit down, there's a place still called the Firehouse, pretty bomb little rooftop sit down that you can do with the boys if you want. But I'm with Luke on this. But getting your buzz is your main priority.
Yes.
They do goldfish races down at one of the other ones. I forget what the name of the bar is. So yeah, baby, you're gonna have a great time. Very boppable.
And I mean, San Diego's got so much fun shit going on. If you're like limiting yourself to PB, that's like
no. Go over to North Park, baby.
Exactly. I mean, there's plenty
South
of spots.
Park, North Park.
North Park's a great little. That's another place. So many spots boppable.
Very.
Gas lamps, fun.
Very cool. Maybe if you're gonna do your dinner night, go out and gas lamp.
Dinner night is a gas lamp.
And
they'll be able to facilitate a thick crew of boys.
Thick boys.
Yeah.
We're talking 14 deep. We're talking.
Absolutely.
We're talking starting, offensive team here, dude, for football, just ready to rock.
And I do think down in the gas lamp, the pandemic, allowed a lot of those restaurants to overflow into the street. And I think partially permanently.
Dude, yeah.
That's kind of a move. I'm not saying don't, PB, totally fun. But if you're doing multiple days, feel free to venture.
I think so. That's actually one of the silver linings of this freaking pandemic with so many terrible, shitty things is the fact that in LA, they kind of do this too on our street. Look at our neighbors, by the way, guys, our friendship has blossomed.
That's true.
And we did a stand-up show together, a backyard stand-up show during COVID.
Yep.
Luke had to stay because he brought an amp. Otherwise, you bail. Otherwise, it's nothing against anything. It's just you're a maniac if you stay for the whole set on a book show. But he did. His amp was there, and the way the stage was set up, you really couldn't get it. It would have been
whole thing. No, if I went to retrieve it, it would have been disrespectful.
Yeah, it would have not been the vibe. And so, you understand vibes. And
speaking of vibe, you doing stand up, dude, at that show in particular, I remember you just coming in and rocking the joint. Speaking of celeb shot, you came in with a celeb shot energy.
Dude, thank bro.
You approached the mic with the stand up mic with a celeb shot energy.
Dude,
and
that's one of the best things I've ever heard.
And I think if you're somebody out there who has not seen Strider do stand up live, sign yourself up for it because it's a good time.
Thank you. And Luke, speaking of that, you are a very multi talented man, multifaceted man. Tell some listeners where they can see you next, where they can find your shit. What's going on? How do we get more Luke in our lives?
I mean, you know me. I'm bopping around. I'm getting back on the road a decent amount. If you want to go on the gram, I got the link tree on there.
Yeah.
Letting you know what cities I'm coming to. I got an album. Any place you can stream audio platforms. I have a stand-up album called Guitar Comic. I just let people know what it is right up top. That's what you're getting from me. I'm a guitar guy, and I apologize in advance, but... It is kind of, it's a vibe, and it's
but it's very good.
Hey.
It's very good.
I'm like halfway D's.
You are.
But yeah, anywhere you can stream music, go give that a ring. But yeah, hit me on the gram, Luke Null.
Yep, and I'll post that in the description of the episode as well.
Yeah.
Luke, thank you so much for spreading your knowledge, dude, on the freaking.
People got to know. If we don't know the mistakes of history, we are doomed to repeat them.
Dude, a fucking man. Exactly right. 100%. We grow. We move forward. We get better. And hopefully the Reds will.
They won't.
In the back.
Joey B, though.
Dude, Joey B, dude, he's so cool.
Maybe he can play third base.
Dude, let's get that guy out there, dude. Where would you put Joey B? He's got a cannon.
I mean.
Right field.
Here's the thing. I think you're right. He probably is a pitcher.
Yeah.
But. We need him. Oh, yeah, we need more than that, though.
Yeah, because the pitchers aren't hitting anymore. We just covered this.
I know.
No more.
I think right field. He could be a right field type dude.
I like that. Aaron, you're a beast as always, dude. Anything to add? Hell yeah, dude. We're staying stoked, dude. Questions, comments, suggestions, StriderWilsonShreds@gmail.com. Follow Luke. Check out his stuff. Luke, thank you so much, dude. You're an absolute legend, bro.
Thank you for having me, man. It was a treat.
Dude, my pleasure. All right, dude. Friggin' lit.